when you feel that your world is all over, no one cares for you. Lift up your eyes and look at the sky, there's a patch of blue. You know that he cares. From your eyes like the rain from above, God sends us peace that will fill your heart with his love, because you called on Jesus. You know that the Lord walks beside you, you can walk along, knowing that Jesus is with you. You now have a song to sing, to sing to Jesus.
Good to have you tonight. We are blessed to be here with you and thanking God for what he's going to do here with us as we gather here together tonight live on a broadcast of the Oasis, or Deliverance Today, really, was the title for it, but the Oasis Church, but also the Deliverance Today broadcast. So, hope that you're being in the presence of the Lord this week. I tell you, we have a lot going on in this world right now. And it's sad to see that so many have died in Turkey. Terrible earthquake. But the Bible speaks of earthquakes in the latter days, doesn't it? There will be divers earthquakes in various places, in other words, earthquakes in divers places. And so here we've seen a terrible one in Turkey. It looks to me like at least 21,000 have died so far. That's the number, but I think it may go up and continue to go up because many are trapped and they haven't found them yet, or they're just dead, laying there dead. And wow, how many people went into hell? It's so tragic. I just have a hard time thinking about all that because there's so many people that will never have another chance to receive Jesus. And this is it. I mean, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So here we see all these people going into death and eternal damnation without another opportunity ever. That is so, so important that the gospel be shared. I mean, I tell you, I just think it's so important. But here we are, Friday the 10th, already of February. And so let's share a little bit of news. Horrible earthquake may become the worst earthquake in history, already surpassed Japan's terrible earthquake. Yeah, so here we are in the time of things happening like that. And so 10 big serious woke offender companies that have fired people for having conservative views. They push the radical left agenda and fire conservative workers. Alaska Airlines, which I mentioned them last week as well, and now allowing the employees to dress different genders, whatever, and dress, show different perverse things. But anyway, a person has been fired for speaking out the truth about things, and Allstate Insurance has fired an employee also. Comcast, they gave $100 million to BLM and said they pay for employees to travel to get abortions wherever, if they want to get an abortion. CVS have fired people and support gender identity. Ford Motor Company, number 5. And 6 is Kohl's. A lot of people like to shop at Kohl's. I won't be shopping at Kohl's. But this department sure has gone full woke. Internally, diversity training they're having for their workers. Diversity 100 classes. All employees must attend. And other foolish class names. And Kroger, they fired 2 Christians who requested not to wear gay pride logos on their uniform. Marriott hotel chain, number 8. And number 9, Mattel, of course, the Barbie dolls, is going for gender neutral toys. Pfizer, of course, number 10. These are just some. I like Ben and Jerry's ice cream. They've been liberal and new age for a long time, and I don't buy their ice cream, of course, but... And many, many more, which we could mention, but I'm not going to mention with these 10 tonight. But and the Smithsonian Museum, wow, National Museum, Air and Space Museum, they kick out pro-life students just because they wore hats that said they were pro-life on them. And, of course, they allowed all manner of other kind of T-shirts and hats and things, but oh, don't be pro-life, don't be Christian. They don't put that on there. But ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, took actions against the Smithsonian and filed a lawsuit against the museum, and the latest is an apology came after they filed, but they had to file a lawsuit or it wouldn't have gotten that far. So anyway, yeah, stand up for righteousness. Church of England votes to bless same-sex marriages and change God's name to gender neutral. They're considering doing that also. And strange days, wouldn't you say? A new heaven, new earth is the name of a new cult. And members have been reported going to Christian churches to try to recruit members. They say they want people to come to a Bible study. So don't recommend being part of that. The Bible says in Third John or Second John, don't even bid these people Godspeed. Don't even bid them Godspeed. In other words, don't even say God bless you to these people that are promoting false doctrines and cults. Where is that? Yeah, it's Second John. Said, if any come unto you, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't even, you know, give him a greeting. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds, or shares in his evil darkness of their cult. Wow. So that's pretty strong, that what John said there, wouldn't you say? But that's what should be said. I mean, they come from also from Korea, which also birthed the Moonies, and probably this is a breakoff of a Moonie from what I've heard about them, but it's a different one, heaven and earth. So, yeah. Anyway, Israel considers adding something that we take for granted in this country, but, and of course, we got to ask what God they say, and when they say on the dollar bill, in God we trust, but still, Israel is considering adding in God we trust to its paper money for the first time. And Biden is keeping Nigeria off religious freedom violators list, despite targeted killing of 5,000 Christians just last year alone. But I think Biden does not respect Christians, and God will not respect him either, of course. And the Bible says he will reap what he sows, right? So, yeah, because he's not a Christian. He's not born again, so he's going to reap what he sowed, and he already is. And we're seeing a lot of things go down here. But, yeah, he's keeping them off the religious freedom violators list. So they're killing Christians every day, almost. So if anybody should be on the religious freedom violators list, they ought to be on it. But, of course, you know, we're seeing what kind of administration this is. Missouri pastor says God saved his life after two teenagers, one of them was 13 years old, held him at gunpoint in a carjacking. That's right, the pastor Coleman, I guess Mike Coleman of Carondelet Baptist Church in St. Louis, Missouri. And so they got him in, when he was leaving church at night out there in the parking lot going to his car, and they came by and put a gun in the back of his head and wanted his wallet and his keys to the car. And it doesn't look like they didn't know what they were doing, because, you know, he had to show them. They made him, got out of the car, asked him to show him how to, told him he had to show him how to start the car. And then they went and wrecked the car where they took off in it. So obviously they didn't know how to drive. And he did file charges on them because he was asked whether he wanted to. And he felt, well, they need to show responsibility, be accountable for what they did. So he filed charges on them for what they did. But he forgives them. He's working on that. He was angry at them, he said. Taylor Smith said, I am a Christian. And people with real Christian values support abortion, she said. Yeah, in a Netflix documentary about her life, Miss Americana, Swift insisted that she is a Christian even though she supports and promotes political causes that go against Christian teaching and teachings of the Bible. So a lot of people think they're Christian, but, you know, they're going to just believe whatever they want, right? They're going to believe whatever they feel like believing and say they're Christian. Well, that's weird, isn't it? Because they're not Christian. Yeah. They should know them by the fruit. If she has no fruit of the Holy Spirit living in her, then obviously she's not a Christian. So, anyway, that's what she says about herself. Thousands of buildings in Auckland, New Zealand, unsafe for living in after the worst rains in 170 years have taken place in New Zealand. Extreme rain and severe flooding has taken place over there. Wow. Well, they've got some real woke government there and demonic people in authority there over there. So I wonder why things are happening, huh? Denver is now America's crime capital. Denver, Colorado. Wow, didn't even know that till I found out this week. And Denver is now worse than New York City or Chicago, according to a report that I read this week about Denver. Excuse me. Wow, I know I don't like going to Denver, but I have to go there sometimes, traveling and things, because so many of the places people go, they have to go to Denver when they live up here in Montana to get anywhere, like if going to Kansas or Oklahoma or different places over there, do you have to go through Denver or south? Oh, boy. Anyway, it's sad to see the crime in the country and the deterioration of our nation right before our very eyes. And so let's pray tonight, and I want to welcome each of you here to the live broadcast today. And thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of this ministry and part of the live church service and broadcast on the radio here. And it seemed like as I was trying to get on tonight, I barely made it. I mean, it was showing like it wasn't letting me get in here to get this all going here tonight. And it was just not cooperating. So finally, I just had to redo everything and finally got us up. And so here we are, thank God. Almost wasn't going to be able to be with you here tonight because of that. But finally got it going. And I guess there's a problem with Blog Talk Radio. I don't know. But somewhere there was a problem. Anyway, we're here. Praise God. I'm glad to be with you. So let's pray as we just start out tonight. And Father, we just thank you that we are able to be here tonight in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that people be blessed by listening. And people be encouraged in the Lord, and we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we can do this and share with people the Word of God and the things of God. And we're going to talk about some important subjects tonight. And we're going to break through the enemy's strongholds in Jesus' name in people's lives. And we thank you that we could do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I want to pray for Lord, somebody who said they're not going to the doctor, they're not going to go to the hospital, and they've got some serious problems going on in their body, and if they don't get healed by God, they're just going to die, and that's where they're at. And so, Father, we pray that they be healed in Jesus' name, and we rebuke the stuff that's going on in their body, the sickness and disease, the attack of the enemy right now. And they don't want to go to the hospitals and doctors. So, Lord, I pray for healing, supernatural healing for their bodies in the name of Jesus right now. And, Lord, if that's their wants and had their desire not to go, then, Lord, we pray that you'll touch them, Lord, and minister to them physically and keep them alive, Lord, and give them a long life for your glory. And thank you for ministering to them. In Jesus' name, and Lord, we pray for others that are sick and dealing with things. We thank you that one got out of the hospital, Lord, and they didn't have this to have an operation and all that, Lord. We thank you for that and answering that prayer, Father, and pray you keep them out, Lord, and they'll just get better and better for your glory, Father. We thank you for that, and for anyone listening right now that's sick, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, healing in their body, a miracle of healing in their body, Lord. Because we believe that your word is true. You said you forgive all our iniquity and heal all our diseases. And I believe that, Father. I stand in that. I believe it. Thank you for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you are our healer, Lord. And, Lord, we want to address issues that can cause sickness in bodies tonight, too, as we get into this word, Lord, and ask you to open up the eyes of our understanding even more to that, Father, as we share these words tonight. We cover the broadcast tonight with the blood of Jesus, every listener with the blood of Jesus, ask you to bless them and then minister to them for your glory. In Jesus' name, thank you. We honor you. We lift you up and magnify you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the angels of the Lord encamping round about us and taking care of us and keeping us safe from all the perils and evils of this wicked world, Father. You said, no evil shall befall us or plague come nigh our dwelling place, Lord. We believe your word, standing on your word. We thank you for your truthful word, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, let's get into the Word of God here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you for being here. And hopefully this is coming in loud and clear for everybody today. We bind the enemy in Jesus' name from hindering this from taking place and the sharing of the Word of God right now. All right, let's take off into this. You know, one thing we're all going to have to understand here as we get into this, God's reliability and fear's dangers. About the Christian life is this. We need to understand this and know this, because if you're trying real hard to do it, it isn't going to be possible for you to do it and accomplish it. Because the Christian life is not hard to live. It's impossible, okay? A lot of people say, oh, it's just so hard to be a Christian nowadays. It's just so, hey, it's impossible to live the Christian life. That's right. You can't do it. I can't do it. And the life that God intends for us to live can only be lived by His way and His resources, His power, and His Holy Spirit living it through us. So really, we can't do it. And we need to know that we can't do it, because it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me and lives through me, and Christ who lives in you and lives through you. If you want to live a successful Christian life, a victorious Christian life, it's going to have to be that way. Okay? Everyone since Adam has had two choices. You can live from the tree of life, or you can, which would be living from Jesus, or you can live from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's no neutral ground. Okay? And if we, you know, feed on the tree of life, then we will have life. But if we feed, you know, off the tree of knowledge, then we will always attempt to do it ourselves by our ability and strength. You know, instead of letting Jesus do it and live through us His life, the God kind of life, which only He can live through us, you know, we can't live it ourselves. And we're going to have to learn this until we lay down what is natural, our strength, our ability. God will not release His total resources in our lives. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want the resources of God, the ability of God, the power of God. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians. Let's go read a Bible verse here. 1 Corinthians 9. Chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Okay? But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which a man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, as long as we're doing it our way, we can't do it His way. And God will just let us struggle and faint and give up time after time and time again until we yield to Him and His Spirit, till we give up that which is natural and exchange it for that which is spiritual. And see, the tree of knowledge of good and evil represents a life of independence from God. I can't do it, you know. I'm a self-made woman. I'm a self-made man, you know. But we're not called to a life of independence. We're called to a life of dependency. I depend upon God with all my spirit and all my heart, my soul, and body. Totally, I'm dependent on God. That's walking in true humility. When you're dependent, and you become dependent, and you're fully dependent on the Lord. Okay? So are you dependent on Him today? If not, you need to become dependent. Okay? You know, we're not called to production, self-production and self-performance, but to participation and yieldedness, see? Participation with Jesus and yielding to Jesus and yielding to the Holy Spirit. And many of you need to change trees for we pursue divine purposes and plans of God in our own power. And that isn't working. And therefore we've run into a wall, a thick wall, in fact. Look at Israel. You know, when God called them to move into Canaan, the promised land, what did they do? They sent in spies and they saw the walled cities and the giants and they saw the thick walls of Jericho. And they saw and they smelled and they heard and they felt and they tasted. And man, there was just no way, man. It was impossible in the natural strength to do this. And they were freaking out. They were getting in fear, giving place to the spirit of fear. Like many Christians do today, they give place to the spirit of fear. We're going to talk about this spirit of fear and what's it doing to so many today and has done. Verse 32 of Numbers 13. Let's start reading there. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight because they saw themselves that way. That's what, you know, that's what they were, they thought, in their sight as well. And see, it depends a lot on how you see yourself is how you're going to live in this life, see. See, if you're seeing yourself as a grasshopper, you're not getting anywhere, okay? You're thinking that, you know, that you're a worthless type individual, and you're just a grasshopper and all these, you know, giants all around you. See, something had not yet happened. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight, and they thought that that was the way others saw them as well. And see, when you see yourself as a grasshopper or something small and nothing, then others are going to see you that way too because you're projecting that. See? Yeah, they were eating from the wrong tree, obviously. They looked at self, you know, they looked at themselves, they looked focused on themselves, and they saw they were nothing, they were just grasshoppers in their own eyes, and they weren't looking at Jesus, and they weren't looking at God. The tree of knowledge of good and evil majors on self, not God, okay? They were looking at the sense tree, the natural tree. Oh, we saw the giants there. We saw this and we felt this and we tasted this and all these things. Right? And it didn't, you know, it just scared them. They got in fear. They got in the flesh. And they got overcome by the enemy. Yeah. And they ended up wandering in the wilderness another 40 years. Yeah, because they got scared. The natural man-centered tree. In fact, God calls it an evil report. That's what they gave here. That's right. When we eat of the wrong tree and we speak it and believe it, it's evil. Because whether, you know, it's the good of a tree or the evil of a tree, it's still evil because it's one that we were told not to be eaten of. It's still the wrong tree. It will always be the wrong tree, and it will bring what with it? Well, what did the Bible say it brought with it in Genesis 2:17? What did the Bible say about that tree? If you're going to eat of that tree, what is it going to bring into your life? Okay, I don't care whether it's then, whether it's now. This is what it still brings today, okay? But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So it brings death, right? That's what the Bible says. Faith dies. You know, we die. We may not die physically right now if we're eating of that tree, but our faith walk will die. You know, our life will start dying, and God's resources are not allowed. We're feeding on what God said brings death, not life. And if you eat of it, you surely die, he says. There's going to be a measure of death. There's going to be demonic stuff operating. Religious spirits, the spirit of working death, not righteousness, not life. And that comes from that tree, good works, you know, that death, that doesn't bring life. Doing good works of the flesh. Hell, the Shriners do good work, right? Yeah, a lot of people out there in the world try to do some good works from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They did to do the good. Christians try to do the good of a tree, and it's the wrong tree. It doesn't work for them. So if you eat of it, you shall surely die. It brings death, not life. So no wonder there's still so much death, so much fear of death, right? Fear in so many Christians, so much death in so many Christians, death in so many areas of their life. And yet the walls of Jericho were just as thick and just as high. 40 years later, after they'd wandered another 40 years, it was still impossible for natural strength or wisdom to devise the method that God come up with for taking down that city of Jericho. I mean, could that be why so few cities are being taken today? The city of anxiety, the city of depression, the city of fear, the city of lust. Could it be that's why so many of them aren't being taken down? Yeah. See, what is impossible becomes him possible, right? Jesus possible by simple faith and obedience. So the same walls that they feared were taken down 40 years later because God's people had changed. All those other people had to die off of the wilderness, and right out of all those millions of people that went, you know, that came out of Egypt, only two went into the promised land of the original. Only two, Caleb and Joshua, right? Could it be why one generation doesn't, you know, make the impact that another generation does on the world? One simply tried to do it in the natural, and they just give up, and they wandered around. And the other believed God and acted accordingly. One Christian gets the blessing and one doesn't. Could it be that because one believed and one just, you know, tried to get it from the tree of the good of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and try to get it with a good work, try to get it with their, you know, confessing Jesus 100 times of their own flesh? Yeah, I mean, really? Try to do it in the natural. The other believe God, and man, they got blessed. They got the blessing. They got the manifestation. So what's the change that took place, and what's the change we all need? Well, they changed trees, and by changing trees, you know, what is spiritual, what is God ruled instead of that which is carnal and death? They believe God. They begin to really trust and believe God. And then what appeared impossible and seemed impossible became possible. Well, how many know faith is spiritual because God is a spiritual God, and God has dealt to every man a measure of faith? It came from a spiritual God, so it's got to be spirit. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Just to live by faith. I believe that's what it says. I'm going to check it, just be sure, but I believe that's what it says. Yeah, for we walk by faith, right? Not by sight. Okay, so that's exactly what it says. For we walk by faith, not by sight, not by our senses. We don't walk by the five senses. We can't walk by the five senses and eat of a tree of life. No. See, faith is of another realm, the God realm. This supernatural realm, it's a realm that is beyond the realm of the natural. It's from Jesus. It's from God. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. It's by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is faith, love, right? I mean, the tree of life is spiritual tree. Jesus is spirit. God is spirit, the Bible says. For to eat of the tree of life is to eat of God, to partake of God. Are you partaking of God? Yes. Are you partaking of him tonight? What are you partaking of? So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Israel, by faith, participated in God's method, even though God's method made them look ridiculous to the world. Ridiculous to the people inside of Jericho when they were walking around that city seven times. They walked around and walked around and walked around. Every day they walked around. And too many are afraid of looking ridiculous today. And that's got to stop, man. You're going to grow in grace. You're going to have to quit worrying about what people think about you. You know? And often what looks ridiculous and nonsensical, I mean, to others is what is needed if we're going to learn to really trust God and live in his dimension, the spiritual dimension, and learn to live in impossible living, things that are impossible taking place in our lives. And I really don't care what they think, okay? Have you been there yet? Okay? I have. And you can't do that. You can't believe that, they say. You can't, no, believe that, oh, you need to go to the doctor. You need to do this. You need to do this the natural way. You need to do it our way. You know, you need to go get a loan instead of believing God for finances to come in. Now, this is called living by faith. And that's what God called us to. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Right? That's right. And it's... That, if we're going to walk that way, we're going to see the miracles of God. We're going to see the power of God. But if we don't walk that way, we live by sight alone. That's a five sense ruled, and we're going to miss out on so much. I mean, so much. I mean, it's just not going to be there. All right? It's not going to be there. And it could be because God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's already given it, but not everybody's living it. Everybody's not receiving it. So there is no living the impossible to live Christian life until we let him live his life through us. Okay? So are you letting him live his life through you, or are you living the life through you? You're living the life of self. You're living a life of religion. You're living a life of the tree of knowledge of good. We could say this. We participate or partake of his life. See, a lot of Christians are just, you know, just fooling themselves, you know. They have a fooling themselves party in life. I mean, they think they are living the Christian life, but all they're doing is living from the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're living from what they think is good and right. But that isn't going to do it. That's not going to. That brings you into the spirit of religion. Doesn't bring you into the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with his people today. A lot of people are living in a spirit of religion, and they ought to be living in a spiritual of life, the Zoe life of God, the life of God of their life, the victorious life of God. Joshua 6:5. Joshua 6:5, now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people, no, I'm sorry, that's chapter 6:5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of a trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now jump to verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Okay? So here they are walking around the city in total silence because that's what Joshua told them to do, because you know what? Your voice can get you in a lot of trouble and talk you out a lot of blessings if you let it just talk, especially talking to other people sometimes. But he said, be quiet, don't talk nothing out of your voice. Why? Because if people start talking about it, they're going to get out of the spirit. They're going to get out over into fear. Okay? Fear comes through many words. The Bible says that, you know, many words, there's going to be sin. If you talk a lot, you're going to sin with your mouth. You're going to give place to the enemy. See, the enemy gets into the mouth and sabotages faith. You can hear fear spirits in people talking. You just listen to them talk. You hear fear. And notice they blew the horn of the dead ram. It always takes a death to enter into life. See, it's not another trip to the altar to moan and groan and, oh, save me, Lord, what a mess I've been. How big a failure I've been this week. Oh, I'm such a mess. I need you so, Lord. You know, it's yielding and learning how to cooperate with God and to put on Jesus Christ. Put on Christ is what we're told to do. And if Christ is on, then we ain't on, right? That's right. If Christ is on, Jesus is on, then you ain't on, okay? It says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to the lust thereof, to fulfill the lust thereof. If you're putting on Jesus, you're not going to keep on, you know, fulfilling all those lusts in your flesh, you know. A lot of people don't put on Jesus, and therefore they just keep fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and they keep giving in to their various lusts, whether it be sexual or whether they be money lust or lust for power, lust for recognition, all different kinds of lust, okay? But the world is ruled by lust, and we're not of the world, so why should we let ourselves be ruled by lust? It's not necessary. But many Christians, that's the way they live. They're ruled by the lust. But we got to put on Christ so we quit putting on those lust. We need to renounce our right to self-rule, to self-ownership, and to reckon ourselves to be dead to self, to sin, to the world, and alive to Jesus. We reckon ourselves dead to sin. We reckon ourselves not being controlled by that sin and dominated by that sin. Okay? We, by faith, today should put on Christ. Appropriate the living Jesus today. Put on Jesus and put off self-rule. Put on God's rule. Let faith arise. Let God arise. When God arises, what happens? The enemies, the lust is scattered. If you let God arise in your life, the enemy's going to be scattered in your life. God arise, and his enemies shall be scattered. What's the enemy? Well, the lust is an enemy. All forms of lust. Fear is an enemy. I guess people are not letting God arise enough. See? If faith is arising, God is arising, and God is arising, faith is arising. So he has a plan to knock down the big old wall before you. That wall of fear, that wall of depression, discouragement, of unforgiveness, that wall of that habit that you got and you can't seem to get rid of. Why is it you can't seem to get rid of? There's a lot of reasons. Maybe you've got some unforgiveness in there. Maybe you've got some unforgiveness toward yourself. Maybe it's just fear. And you feel that you've got to give in to this habit over and over and over again. So you're being ruled by something or you wouldn't have the habit, see? And you'll just grow weary trying to do it in your own strength. Say, God will knock down my walls. Amen. Just speak it out. God's going to knock down my walls. Say, those big old walls. God will knock down my walls. Otherwise, you'd be intimidated by those walls, in fear of those walls. Maybe that wall is a hurt. Maybe it's a pain. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a rejection. Maybe it's unbelief, a doubting spirit. Maybe it's some kind of a financial obstacle. A fearfulness, maybe. Yeah, quit trying to tackle it in your own power. You'll just go away saying, hey, I'm a grasshopper compared to it. You'll just keep going around saying you're a grasshopper compared to the wall, to the problem. Let God tear it down right before you. See, maybe you may be stuck right now in your life. Perhaps even fear and worry have paralyzed you right now. Maybe you're feeling paralyzed. And maybe you don't know you're in a paralyzed condition either because, you know, you just keep on living your life, but you don't recognize what's really been going on. In fact, if you're living in fear, it is possible that you're becoming physically broken or sick from your life of living in fear. Remember what 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us what? A spirit of fear has not given us the spirit of fear. Notice it's specifically talking about spirit. The spirit of fear is a spirit of fear, and it's a very strong principality as well as it has many demons of fear operating under that fear. So God and devil himself is the spirit of fear. Okay, that's what, because it says not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So fear is definitely a demon spirit, and there's lots of demon spirits of fear. There's plenty of those fear spirits to go around. Okay, it's a principality as well. There's the principality over all the spirits of fear. The fear of principality, the spirit of fear. Notice that. And that fear has many, many little peons under it, or whatever you want to call it, demons under it. And they get in people and control them. There's enough spirits of fear for every human on planet Earth to have them. And look how fear has gotten control of so much of society through the pandemic. That's a good example of how fear operated, isn't it? Look at them. People are still afraid, and they're out wearing their masks. I see every time I go to town, I see people wearing masks, even though medical science has proven masks don't protect them. They don't protect them at all from COVID. They don't protect them from the pandemic, but they just, you know, they're in fear. Fear is controlling them. Huh. See how easily fear has controlled so many people, and now people are dying from giving place to their fears, who took the so-called vaccine out of fear. Oh, I got to take that vaccine. Everybody's telling me to protect myself, protect myself. Well, what about Jesus protecting you? How many ministries that claimed all this healing shut down during that time and wouldn't, you know, even be open because they were afraid? The numbers of deaths I saw this week in the United States alone are from somewhere between 200 and something thousand to 320 something thousand. That's just from taking the jab. Yeah, the side effect of the jab, they're killing them. And that's a direct result of the jab. And so people are going to die who took the jab, a lot of them, especially if they took the boosters. I mean, that makes it even more likely that you're going to die, according to these doctors. So, hey, fear is the devil. And it wants to control the whole human race. And it's doing a pretty good job of it because you've got people so scared over the pandemic thing that they just gave place to the spirit of fear. And so the principality is just up there whooping it up, man, because they've been dishing out fear by the truckloads. And people have been right there waiting for it to come on to them because they're just ready to take it. And it's the devil. He wants to control the whole human race. And it'll plant many types of temptations in your mind to gain its foothold in your life. And you need to recognize the spirit when it comes knocking at your door. If it isn't already in there, if it is already in there, it's time to get it out. Time to have a coming out party and get rid of those things. Right? I mean, look how it can operate. We could see a really good example of this in Job chapter 4. Let's go over there because this is interesting. And it's very insightful into how these spirits operate. Job 4, 14 through 16 here. It says, fear came upon me. Did you see that? Fear came upon me. See, it comes upon people today, and what are you going to do when it comes upon you? You gotta reject it. You gotta learn to reject it when it comes your way. Okay? So fear came upon me, and trembling. See, fear, a lot of people are trembling inside. They might not be shaking outside, but they're shaking inside. They're all shook up on the inside through this fear that came upon them, which made all my bones to shake. Notice it made all their bones to shake. What in the world is this kind of spirit that made the multitude of the bones in the body to shake? What is that doing? And then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying. So what's going on here? What's going on here? An interesting thing here. Okay? Inside many Christians today, fear has come upon them, and they live in a state of trembling, and their bones are shaking, and they are weakened physically, even sick in their body. Okay? Even sick in their body because of this fear. Because fear is an open door for many things to happen to people. Fear is a strong demon, folks. Not stronger than Jesus, of course, but still it's a strong demon, a strong devil, strong principalities and power. And Jesus in his word repeatedly tells us, fear not. Why would he be telling us that if there was not such a danger of living in fear? But Christians keep on giving place to the spirit of fear. He said, fear not, you keep fearing. I've watched it operate in believers for years and years and years. I mean, it's, you know, if it's in them, I can so often, I mean, I see it, these spirits in operation. It's written all over, okay? It's written all over them. And I can tell them the word, and I can even preach it because I've done it so many times. But what happens? I can tell the spirit of fear is canceling what's just been said to them. And they don't get it. They're not receiving it. They're not walking out of this control of this fear spirit. They're not walking out of the controlling spirit of their life, which fear can often be a primary spirit that controls them. They're still embracing fear, and it's still embracing them. And the spirit of fear will cancel everything that says that they're being spoken to defeat it. See, too many believers are living in bondage to fear spirits. And they just might not even be aware of it. I'm sorry, because they don't see that it's coming out of their mouth. Oh, I'm sure worried about so-and-so. Well, you're fearful then. You don't worry about people. You give them to Jesus. You know, oh, I'm worried that I'm not going to have enough money to make it this month. Well, then you're in fear that God isn't going to take care of you. You don't believe him that he said, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by one Christ Jesus. Huh? You don't believe it. If you're worried about it, you're fearful about it, you have anxiety about the finances. Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Problem in your life. Problem in the relationship. Oh, I'm so afraid. Our marriage is going to fall apart, or my family is going to fall apart. Or this is going to happen to them. They're going to have an accident. Fear gives place to lots of other demons when you're walking in it. Fear is an open doorway. You need to shut that door on the devil's face, okay? Yeah, I've learned to recognize it. It may seem to hide itself, but it cannot fully do so, see, because I've seen it so many times. You can try to hide sometimes from me, but I see it in people. Right? If a person stays with the spirit of fear, it's going to cause physical problems and sicknesses in their lives if they don't get rid of it and deal with it. At least they got to be fighting it. And you need to identify fear and begin immediately to get out of agreement with it. If it's there in your life right now in any form, and there's so many different forms of fear. Yeah. Oh, I'm afraid I'm catching a cold. That's fear, see. I'm afraid ends aren't going to meet this week. Huh? I'm afraid something's going to happen to my child out there. See, that's fear. Fear. Why would you even use that word, I'm afraid? See? Why would you want to use that? You just gave permission to the enemy to be afraid and to bring fear. Yeah. Many people have relational fears. Oh, they're going to find out my secrets and they're going to hate me. They're going to find out what I'm doing and I shouldn't be doing. Or what they're going to find out, you know, what I've been saying about them behind their back. Or, well, you shouldn't have been saying that, but still. Fear. Or she or he will not love me. Or I need to give my child their way. Or they will not love me. Well, I can't discipline them or they will hate me. I'm afraid they'll hate me. And how many parents have been in that condition? See? And they're living in fear every day because they won't discipline their child because they don't want their child not to like them or not to love them or thinking that they think they're not going to love them. But actually, they'll love you more if you give them proper correction. Because they're crying out for it. They want to be corrected. Children need to be corrected and want to be corrected. The Word of God says that very clearly. Yeah. So you just believe in the spirit of fear and the lies that they tell you. Oh, they won't love me if I correct them. See, Jesus wants to deliver you from fear. He does. Psalm 34:4 says here, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See, there's all kinds of fears. They had a lot of fears. But I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See? They didn't have deliverance ministers back then. But see, we seek the Lord, and he'll send somebody to cast those demons out, or else you can cast them out. but the Lord delivered him. Psalm of David. But Jesus wants to deliver you from fear, all your fears, not just one fear, fears with an S. It had S on it. You notice that? All my fears. There's a lot of fears. And they come in so many different forms that you may think you don't have any fears, but you're loaded with fears sometimes, and you don't think you have any fears. Fear of the dark, fear of high places, fear of claustrophobic spirits, fear of going on a drive in the car, fear of accidents, fear of wrecks, fear of this, fear of that, fear of burglary, fear. I mean, there's so many fears. Anxiety, just fear is a fear that you have from work. You get anxiety because you're fearful about things. But he alone is our deliverer, but he uses people to cast these things out. And see, I tell you, this is serious stuff. See, you're going to have to get out of agreement with fear in its many and varied forms in which it attached itself to you. You need to go to war against it and its presence in your life. You're going to have to take up faith instead of, always taking up fear, see? It's so easy for people to take up fear when they ought to be taking up faith. Yeah, you need to take up faith instead of always taking up that fear spirit, see? Faith is stronger than fear, folks. And your God-given faith is much stronger, but you have to believe it, and you have to live as if you truly do believe it. And most are living a life of fear. And if you were able to listen to them talk and watch them daily and nightly and live with them day in, day out, 24/7, you would see a spirit, or a number of spirits, actually, of fear. Just like David said, spirits of fear. You would see spirits of fear in manifestation in their many different forms. And see, if you keep yielding to fear, it's going to go to work on your body, weakening your physical defenses. And it may go on for years and years and years as one yields to fear, whittling away at your physical defense system that God gave you, a defense system, your body a defense system. But if you keep yielding to death, forms of death, fear is a form of death. You keep yielding to these things. Demons are forms of death. You keep yielding to them, they whittle away at your physical defenses eventually, sometimes sooner or later, for some later, for some sooner. You'll have physical problems. And I'm not cursing you. I mean, this is just what happens to people when they keep yielding to these spirits. And Jesus is trying to keep you well, physically well, when he says repeatedly, fear not, I am with you. The Lord thy God is mighty in the midst of thee. You know, all these different things to tell you not to be afraid of the devil and give place to these spirits of fear because they're dangerous to you and me. That's right. They're dangerous. That's why he's telling us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of a testimony. I mean, all these things are directed against spirits as well. He's trying to take care of us. He's trying to keep us in health. He's trying to keep us well. See? And he tells us the keys are all through the word of God. Fear not, for I am with you. The Lord thy God is mighty. He works in you in the power of his might. See, the enemy could prevail, see, if we believe these things. But how many Christians believe the word of God? How many Christians even know the word of God? That's right. They don't know where. I've watched over the years, all these years of pastoring, I look at, as I call out scriptures for people to look at, and they fumble through their Bible. They can't find it. They're not familiar with the word of God. How are they going to walk in victory over these spirits if they're not even familiar with the word of God? How are you going to walk in victory over fear? Because fear has a loud voice. And so people don't listen to Jesus so many times because fear has a loud voice, a dominant voice in people's life, and it tempts you, and you continually yield to its temptation. You don't even know it because it's been a part of your life for so long. When fear has built a stronghold of many kinds of fear. Remember what we just read, 34, about fears, not just one fear. I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from all my fears, many fears. See, that's not just one fear. He given place to fear. There are other fears there. They're not just one fear inside. And so you have come to the stage of being bound by fear, stuck in a grip of fear. A lot of people in that place, in that condition right now, and you got to come out of that place. Okay, you got to come out of that place. You got to recognize that this is such a dominant, strong spirit, and there's principality, and then all the demons ruling, you know, under that ruling spirit of fear. And these demons all over the face of the earth. And whatever form it is able to come and control with, maybe you're a chronic worrier. See, that's a fearful spirit. See? You're worrying. What are you worrying about? Oh, your family. You're worrying about your health. You're worrying about you're going to have money enough. You know, worry about money and not getting by this time. I mean, that's fear. Worry is fear. Anxiety is fear. Stress is fear. It's all fear-based. See? There are fear spirits in operation, see, to bring you into conditions in your life that will cause physical conditions in your life. Maybe you're living in a physical condition right now, and it was, and you don't know the cause of it, but it came through fear. It came in through fear. See? You don't recognize these things, see? Because people don't know how these things operate. Or you're very stressed about your children, maybe. That's fear. And their welfare and their lives are about people's safety or something, and that's fear. Or a friend, you're worrying about a friend. Well, I'm sure really worried about so-and-so, you know. And, okay, well, you're fearful for them, man. You're getting fear over them. Or the fear of the future, fear of the future and future events and how they're going to affect you, or fear of physical problems and how they might affect you. Yeah, there's so many different fears. Fear and stress about driving a car or crime or money or on and on and on the list goes. Worry, stress, anxiety, wear and tear and wear on a person. And they will wear you down physically if you keep yielding to them. If you do not fight back, they will wear on you physically over a period of many years. And the defenses that God has naturally given your body, they're going to start tearing them down. Demons don't want you in health. Demons don't want you to walk in a healing power of God. They don't want you to have these things. You have to recognize it's a war on you, and every area of our lives we're being attacked. And the enemy trying to take us down. So we need to go the opposite direction of these fears. We got to give them up and go the opposite direction of them. You must war against their control over your life. Job said, "What I have greatly feared has come upon me," in Job 3:23. He said, "What I have greatly feared, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." See, he was living in fear all the time. He was afraid for his family, afraid for his children, and it happened. This can be a person's fate if they yield to those spirits. And many of Job's problems were there because he greatly feared. And so he had an open door in his life. See, we got to close the doors in all the devil's faces in every way we can. Close the doors. Close the doors. The strong spirits of fear had overcome him and were given place because he feared them. And we got to refuse these spirits a habitation place within us. See, daily, even moment by moment, God is reliable, folks. When these things come, God is reliable. His word is true. That God will make a way when there's a temptation coming by this spirit of fear. But we've yielded so many times in the past that there's just no fight there anymore. So for some Christians, there's just no fight. When this stuff happens, there's no fight. But Jesus is reliable. His word is truth. It's reliable, and we're going to have to embrace God's reliability. We're going to have to embrace that in our lives, and we're going to have to believe it instead of just, you know, yeah, I know, I heard the pastor, I heard the preaching, and then you don't do nothing with it. I mean, it just doesn't do anything in your life. You don't stand up against these spirits. You don't resist the devil and watch him flee. Something's wrong here. I mean, you might have wondered why God gave the Old Testament to us. Well, a lot of it's written for our admonition so we know how to live in these latter days. But much of it doesn't apply to New Testament Christians, it seems. In fact, the biggest part of the Bible is the Old Testament. It has 39 books as compared to only 27 in the New Testament, right? So why do you think it's part of the Bible? Well, one of the reasons I'm going to talk about tonight is why the Bible is, you know, why it's in the Bible is to prove and establish the fact that we serve a faithful and a reliable God. To prove his reliability. Look at it, how he delivered Israel time and time again. He worked in David mightily. He was able to kill the giants. He was able to resist the powers of these giants, whatever the giants were. And everybody has giants they're dealing with. It may not be a physical giant, but it is a giant. And fear is a giant, giant demon that tries to dominate Christians' lives. But Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Listen, God is faithful. We have a faithful and reliable God, and we need to depend upon him with all of our heart. He loves you. And you might not have as much as you'd like to have to be thankful for today. You know, but if you've got a faithful God, you've got more than most people have to be thankful for. You got, hey, so give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a faithful God to me. I can rely on my God. He will bring me through. You know, everybody say it out loud. Jesus will bring me through. Folks, the Old Testament is unimpeachable evidence of the reliability and faithfulness of Jesus and God the Father. And we need to know how reliable God is, and we need to believe he's reliable today in our personal lives, or else we're going to be dominated by that fear spirit if you have it. Okay? People won't always be faithful. In fact, more times than not, they're not faithful. People let you down. They don't stick with you or stand by your side so many times, but God will. Okay? I've learned to trust him all these many years. He proved it. Okay? Through many proofs of his reliability and then being let down too many times by people, but God hasn't let me down. People do, but God won't. Okay? 39 books of the Bible tell us story after story of his reliability. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. Yeah. And churches and Sunday schools have been telling these same stories, even though a lot of them tell them in unbelief. But ever since Jesus rose from the dead, I mean, most people have heard about Daniel and the lion's den and David and Goliath, and if they've gone to church at all. But many of us still don't know what it's about. It's like we don't know really the word of God, the power of the word of God. We've heard about it, but we don't know the power of it. And we don't live in the power of it. And we need to be. Okay? Paul said, I didn't come to you in word, but I came to you in power. It's still happening today, folks. Okay? Still happening. The power of God being manifested for those who believe it. Do you believe it? Or do you not believe it? Then where are you at today? It's really, you know, this Bible is about the faithfulness and reliability of our God. And if we choose him, he will be with us, period, case settled, period, right? That's the way it is. If we believe him, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Joshua, Ruth, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, David, and on, all shows us that God is faithful. We have a faithful God. He's reliable. He's dependable. You know, so you've just been taught not to depend on anybody in this world because they all leave, a lot of them just let you down. So it's hard for you to believe that God's reliable because people haven't been reliable. I understand that. I get that. But God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should let you down. See? He's not like that. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have this confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Right? The Lord is faithful. And look at it says in verse 2 here. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Well, that's sure true too. And God will deliver us from unreasonable and wicked people out there. And there are plenty of them who love the devil by default because they rejected God. They rejected God, so they love the devil, really. I mean, they serve the devil. They may not know that's who they're serving, but if you're serving self, you're serving the devil, right, if you've rejected the Lord. Often all we hear is what the Lord didn't do instead of what he did do. And but what these fail to tell you is that they did not what they did not do to put themselves in a position for God to do a miracle in their life, for God to come through on their behalf. Many people complain about God not coming through for them, but they fail to really put themselves in a position where God can come through for them, right? There's a position of faith that we have to put ourselves in if we're going to have God come through for us. You know, Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. See, he can't do any mighty works in our life when we're walking around in unbelief like a doubting Thomas all the time. That's a spirit of fear. I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe that Jesus is risen from the dead till I stick my hands in his holes in his hands, in his side. Really? That's unbelief. That's a place of fear. You don't really believe it, so you fear that it's none of it was true that you heard then. The Word of God can't be true. And people that have that doubt all the time, they don't believe it's true. I want to believe it's true, but now I've got to see it to believe it. I've got to put my hands in there, put my faith, see it with my eyes. Hey, you're depending on the five senses. Faith is beyond the five senses. It's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual place of life. Faith is walking in a dimension that is beyond the physical dimension. And it brings things out of the spirit realm into this physical dimension from that spiritual dimension of God. That's why Jesus is the author of the faith, because it's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual force. It's alive and living that Jesus spoke out into us. And every man's been dealt a measure of faith. The faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It gets growth. It moves into action as it is heard, it hears the Word. But see, a lot of people don't do any action when they hear the Word. So faith lies dormant in them. It doesn't do anything, doesn't produce anything. It's a spiritual power, but it's sitting there not working too much, not doing much. See, they just believe, I'm saved. Yeah, and that's about as far as a lot of people go. Yeah. But Gideon had to first take a step of faith before he ever saw the victory over the Midianites. And so do we have to be in a position to receive from him. We have to put ourselves in a position by the power of the Spirit working in us. See, when we begin to know and believe in the reliability and the faithfulness of God, we are then in a position to move out in faith, see? Yeah. But if you don't believe he's reliable, if you think he's going to let you down, and just like people have, well, what's going to happen? Nothing. See, you receive strength to begin a faith adventure by judging God to be faithful and reliable. See? Faith. Look at Sarah here. Go over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 here. In verse 11. It says here, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see that? She judged God faithful who makes these promises. The Word of God is full of promises. Have you judged him faithful yet to you? Have you judged him faithful who has promised you all these promises? If not, you're not partaking of them. No wonder you're not. See? Sarah received strength through faith to conceive. And this is how we should do it as well. How did she receive strength? Through faith. When she judged him faithful who promised. If you can't judge God as being faithful and reliable, then don't step out and believe for things, because you won't have the strength or the faith to conceive and receive whatever baby that you're believing for. What's that baby? For your business to be blessed? For your family to be saved? What is that baby? Have you judged God faithful to do it yet? See, if judge God faithful, it will keep you strong, even when they're telling you that you'll never have that baby. You'll never get that, what you're asking for. Oh, God doesn't do that stuff today. You know, right? Liars. Even when they tell you, you'll never get well. You'll never prosper. You'll never get over your problems in your mind. You'll never get a better job. You'll never get rid of that habit. You'll never own a nice house. You'll never have a mate. You'll never have a car. You'll never be bold. You'll never overcome fear. Never get rid of those spirits of fear. When they tell you that stuff, and they will. People tell you that stuff because demons are talking to them. But see, if you judge God faithful, it'll keep you strong. You'll just spit that garbage out when they tell you that stuff. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I don't receive it. Remember, Hebrews 10:22 said, hold fast. To hold fast means to get a grasp on something and not let go no matter what happens, no matter who says what, does what, whatever happened to this world. There's an earthquake that killed 21,000. Hey, you not let go of God. He's got you. See, many don't ever partake of much of God's faithfulness because they never get a grip. They haven't got a grip on him. See, they haven't got a grip. They're not holding fast. Okay? It costs something to hold on and be consistent with your holding on. Yeah. That's right. They've not been willing to hold on without you know, wavering. A lot of people waver very easily today because there's so many assaults on your faith, so many attacks on our faith. The enemy attacks faith. That's one of his primary targets, to keep you from being in faith and be depending on a reliable God and judging him faithful who has promised you all these promises and blessings. And so they don't partake too much because your faith is always being attacked and you're giving place to the enemy and let it get attacked and then you don't believe. So you got to think and act like this about God's promises. This is coming to pass, or I'm going to die, one of the two, right? That's commitment to the reliability of God, see? His word is going to come to pass, right? It's not maybe going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. That's the dependency on the reliability of God. This is the kind of attitude we need to have to receive and partake of God. And very few people have that kind of attitude today, do they? Unfortunately, very few Christians I see with that kind of an attitude, with that kind of a resolute determination, that kind of dog determination that says, I'm not going to be defeated. I will not give up. My God is true and faithful, and his promise will come to pass for me. Oh, yeah, the devil's going to try to tempt you to question whether God will do what he says he'll do. See, that's what he did. Did God say that you shall die? If you eat of this tree, you shall not surely die. See, tempt you with a question. Go ahead and eat the fruit. God, now you're not going to die. But they did the moment they ate the fruit. They died, and they've been living in death ever since. We all have lived in death since we ate of that wrong tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so, yeah, devil's going to try to get you to question God just like he did Eve in the Garden of Eden. He'll mess with your mind today, day after day after day after day, to try to talk you out of the fact that God is reliable. God is faithful. Fear will attack. Doubt will attack. So many attacks we suffer and deal with every day. And we just got to remember where it's coming from and rebuke it. Well, it just seems to go on all day. It's got to wear me out. Well, yeah, that's what he wants to do. Where are you weak? Where are you? Well, you give in to him. Where are you? Well, you won't believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13, it says here, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of me, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. So how should we be receiving the word? As what it really is, it's the word of God, which effectively is working in us right now. See, that word is working in me right now because I have received it as not the word of men, but it is what it is, the truth, the word of God. See? We got to receive it as the word of God. We got to receive God's word as the word of God, not the word of man. We need to receive it for what it is. Then, if we do, and then we believe it, it is effectively working in us. It is effectively working in who? Those who believe it. Say, I believe it. It is the word of God. I believe it as the word of God. See? It won't work in those who don't believe it's the word of God. If they don't believe it, if they think it's just the word of man, it won't work. And yet God is faithful, but you need to believe that he is faithful to see the full benefits of his faithfulness. And that's the sad thing, that I don't see a lot of Christians enjoying the full benefits of his faithfulness. And God wants you to have the full benefits of his faithfulness. Amen.
He wants you to have the full benefits of the faithfulness of God. He's a reliable God. Hell, people think that their bank account is reliable. Man, bankers will steal your money if they can get away with it. That's right, and they plan on doing that in the future. But, hey, God is a reliable God. He's not like the banker. He's not like this world system of government. He's far above that. He sits high above the circle of the earth, the Bible said. That's right. So is God reliable? What do you think? What do you think? Daniel may have had his doubts and the fears of being thrown and attacked with these doubts and attacked with the fears. Nevertheless, his faith prevailed over those doubts and those fears. See, he resisted temptation. He resisted fear when it raised up its ugly head. It says that you're going to die in that lion's den. They're going to eat you up. He said, my God's going to take care of me. He's reliable. He's proved it in the past, and I know he's reliable. He'll take care of me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they may have had attacks of doubts and fears. They didn't want to get it thrown into the fiery furnace, but Meshach may have said, oh, we should bow. No, we're not going to bow. No, we can't bow. Stand, brother. Encourage your brother, stand. See, their faith in God's faithfulness prevailed over the attacks of the enemy, the doubt, the fear. The stress of that whole situation of being the only one standing and not bowing to that idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. Right? So we got to let your faith in God, you know, let your faith in God's reliability and prevail over your doubt today, the temptation to doubt, the little planted thoughts in the mind that try to tell you this, that, the other, the lies, basically lies. Yeah, the devil, you know, wins with his lies. Give those doubts up, man. Reject those things. Spit them out. Now, what are the results of judging God faithful and believing him? He will call us the chosen, the called, and the faithful. That's right. When we believe him, he's going to call. Let's kind of close with this. Revelation 17. Let's go over there. We'll close this out with this because this is good. Good stuff. It's God's stuff. It's got to be good stuff, right? He's going to call us the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Revelation 17:14. It says here, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Those that are with him are what? Called and chosen and faithful. We belong to the Lamb, and we are with him, and he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Called is kletos in the Greek, kletos, and it means called to privileges, called in, invited. Listen, we are called to privileges, the privileges of the kingdom of God. If we seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all the other things that we have need of, we desire, they're going to be added unto us, right? The godly desires in our lives, right? And we're called to privileges. We're called in. We're invited, kletos, right? And then we're the chosen, eklektos, and the chosen out, selected, a recipient of special privileges, elect, especially beloved, precious, exalted, possessed of prime excellence. Wow, this is who we are. We're the chosen. And the Greek word he used, eklektos, and this is what it means. We've been selected. We've been chosen out. We've been a recipient of special privileges. We're the elect. We're especially beloved right now. God loves us. We're especially beloved to him. That's who we are. That's our identity. We've got to get our identity right if we're ever going to get our walk right. We have to have our identity right, see? If you can't walk in and know your identity, you will never walk in your identity, see? If you don't really know it, I mean, know that you know that you know it, not just hear about it. You know, we've all heard about it, but I know lots of people who hear about it still live like a beat-down Christian. They have no care for love for themselves. It's a beat-down. Feel like that God's mad at them all the time, and they're such a mess. They got all this wrong with them, and they focus on that. So that's just the, where the devil wants you, see. But see, that's not what Jesus says about you. You're chosen, you're called, and you're faithful. And that word is pistis. Pistis in the Greek is P-I-S-T-I-S. And it's one to be trusted, dutiful, and accurate in carrying out instruction. See, we're faithful. God called us faithful. So we carry out the Lord's instruction, see. We're a faithful of God. We're faithful in carrying out those instructions. In other words, he's going to make us like himself and part of him. That's right. We're going to be like him. He's called and we're called. He's chosen. We're chosen. He's faithful. We're faithful. See, that's the process that we see here because he calls us those things here. We're those that are with him. We're not those that are against him. Yeah. Hallelujah. It is this powerful stuff, folks. I'm telling you, this is the way we walk. This is the way we live. This is how we overcome the fear, too. We resist the devil. He will flee. We cast out that fear, all those fears. So today, I want you to put away your doubts. Okay? Those are demons. The doubting demons will try to dominate your life, and you won't walk like this. You won't believe God's reliable. And I can depend on him, okay? God is reliable. Remember that. God is reliable. Don't forget that. He's faithful, and you can depend on him. Reaffirm your judgment that God is faithful. Remember, Sarah judged God to be faithful, the one who made the promise. She judged him to be faithful, and she had a child because she judged him faithful. She believed, in other words. You got a faithful God. Believe him. Now's the time you need to believe him, see? Believe again, afresh. Know that he's effectively working in you right now. He's effectively working in me. He said he's working us until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day of his return. He's going to effectively work in you. Cast out that doubt, which is just nothing but a form of fear. And don't put up with it anymore. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Don't give in to those demons that Thomas gave place to. Okay? I wonder, if he ever got his deliverance, because the New Testament church practiced deliverance and cast out demons. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word tonight of life and exposing how fear operates and the strength of the spirit and exposing that God is stronger than that spirit. And we can walk in that truly walk in that kind of strength, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you will be faithful to us until the day that we depart this planet and go stand up in the heavens with you as you come down to rule and reign over this planet. We thank you for that faithfulness. We thank you for that deliverance, Lord. We thank you that you're going to take care of your people, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are blessed, Lord, to be your children today. A faithful God. Just confess this with me. See, Jesus, I judge you to be faithful and reliable. Just speak that. Confess it with your mouth. I judge you to be faithful and reliable, just like Sarah did. She believed that you were a faithful and reliable God. And I believe it too. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to see the results in my life. I'm going to see those results in my life. I'm going to see you come forth mightily on my behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes to do some deliverance.
Amen. Welcome back, folks. We're going to do some deliverance here tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. But, we all have to be on guard because, you know, we can get into a place where the enemy will get us looking at all the circumstances of this world, all the ways of the world, all the ways of corruptness. And man, you'll start thinking, you know, it's just horrible. And it gets you going, man. That's what the devil wants. He's trying to wear out the saints today, really. And people have to recognize his tactics. There's so many things happening right now that will try to wear you out. But you got to recognize that you have a reliable and faithful God. And you don't want to give place to the devil. And you got to realize that you can go over certain places and be in certain places and something will try to get on you and you'll carry it home with you and it'll just bug you and torment you. Or you go over to somebody's house and there's a spirit operating in that house that will get on you and you'll just be partaking of what they got going there. And I don't want that, you know. I don't want to pick up all that everybody else is carrying around and going around in some spirit of misery and, you know, anger and hate and, you know, I'm not going to go there. Jesus said, got to forgive. You got to let stuff go. You got to cast your cares on me. You know, you get yourself in a condition where those things will eat you up. And it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your walk with Jesus. You know, things happen in this world. You know, and you got to recognize that it's the attack of the enemy, and Satan is the god of this world. He has certain powers here, and for various reasons, we don't always understand them. Things happen in this world, and we recognize that certainly they did come from God. God didn't have anything to do with it. Well, why did God stop it? Why did God do this? Why, you know, we want to blame God. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. See, and you may not know the whys of things. But if you don't watch out, the devil will get you in his territory through asking why. And then you'll be mad at God. You'll miss out on all the things that God can do and wants to do in the situation to work things all out for your good because he loves you. And it's a battle. I understand that. But we're going to do some deliverance here. And you know, I've lost loved ones. I've been in situations where people are all mad and blaming God for this, that, the other. And I've lost people in the church. And I know these things, man. And it's a horrible thing to lose a loved one. I know that. I lost my mother and my dad. You know, they're gone. And I lost a stepsister, too. And when she was so young, it was a tragic thing. But still, you know what? We're not going to let the enemy stop us. We got to move on. You can't stay in that place where the enemy would have people to stay, and that's where he'll get people staying. And I know people stayed there for years and years and years, and you got to walk out of it by the grace of God. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus and rebuke these spirits that want to take you down. Okay? And I realize that you know, there is not justice in this world, but there is justice in the next world. You know, there's justice when they come before the judgment seat of Christ. If they don't get born again, I'd rather them get born again and not see that justice. I'd rather them get born again. You know, I pray for those who despitefully used me over the years, and there have been people who have and mistreated and done things. And you know what? That's part of living in a Satan-filled world, okay? Jesus said, in this world, we're going to face tribulation. We're going to face the attacks of the enemy. It's what you do with it. If you get in Christ, he said, I've overcome the world. If you get in him, you'll be an end-time world overcomer. But if you get placed to the devil, he will tear you apart. Okay? He's the one that does it. It's not God. He doesn't have anything to do with this, folks. But he'll be there for you when you call upon his name. And he'll bring you through. I'm talking about a living, reliable, faithful God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do some deliverance here today. We come against the spirit of fear. We break the power that we bind the fear spirits that have been tormenting people, as we talked about tonight, that strong spirit of fear that is ruling over all these little demons of fear, that principality. We come against these demons of fear in your life, these anxieties and stress right now, these spirits of fear. You come out of there right now. We rebuke you. We break the curses of fear, the generational curses of fear. We break your power. We break your control. And we command you to come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of there right now, all those spirits of fear. Come out, fear. Come out, fear. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Fear for your loved one. Fear for the future. Fear for things not working out the way you hope they worked out. All these fears. Come out. All these fears. Come out. Fear to fear. I bind you. I bind you. I break your hold. I break your grip over people. Come out. In Jesus' name, fear. Come out in Jesus' name, fear. We rebuke you, fear. Come out, 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 out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out. Come on, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose people and let them go right now. All those fears, come up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Fear that you're going to be stuck with your habit all your life that is unconquerable. Come out. That's a fear spirit that will keep you stuck in the habit. See? Come out of there. All the way out. Go, 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 go. My God will deliver me from that habit, right? That's what you got to believe. You know, he delivered me from all my fears, David said. So he wants to deliver you from all your fears. Come out of there. Come out. All those fears right now. Come on, all those fears, up out of there, up out of there. Come on, all the way out. Fear, come out, come out, come out. I bind you, I break your hold. Come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. All that fear, got to go. All the way out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Fear of the future, fear of not having enough, fear of financial failure. Come out, 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 come out. Fear that you're not going to make it through the end times. Come out, come out, come out, fear. Come on, all that fear, you got to go. Come on, fear that you're not going to make it to heaven, that you're not going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Come out, all that fear. Come on, you're a lying devil. Come out, liar. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. Come out, 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 come out. Come on, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, Jesus' name, go, come out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, come out, go, all that fear, in the name of Jesus, go, come out, come out, come out of there, in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. We break the fear control over your body that's trying to break down your immune system and your physical defenses. We come against those spirits of fear and command them to get off of your body, get out of your body. Stop trying to do that to your body in the name of Jesus. Trying to make you sick. I bind you because those defenses have been broken down through fear. We command those spirits to come out of your physical defense system. Get out of there. Get out of there. All the way out. Come on. All the way out, like eating away like a parasite. You come out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Up and out of there. Move in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Those self-destructive spirits, too, that have come in through fear, come out. Those self-destructive spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Self-sabotage, self-destruction, self-damage, come out, all the way out. Try to self-damage yourself. Come out, the blood of Jesus. Go, go,
go in Jesus' name, go all the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out that worthlessness, feeling worthless. Come out that fear of worthlessness. Come out. Worthlessness, come out of there, up out of there. I bind you, I break your hold. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out of there, up out of there, go. Self-destruction, go. Come out, it's worthlessness, go. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all the way out. Spirit of impatience, you come out. Spirit of impatience, we rebuke the spirit of impatience. Come out. Come out now. The blood of Jesus is against that spirit of impatience. Come on up out of there. Move, 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 move. All the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Impatience, anger, rage, come out. Come out. I bind you. Come out of there. All the way out. Come 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 out in Jesus' name. You have to go. Loose them and let them go. All the way out. All the way out. Controlled by lust. You come out too. Controlled by lust. Come out of there. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Controlled by sexual sin. Come out. Controlled by lust of the flesh. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We break that control of these lusts over your body, over your mind. In Jesus' name, lust for money. We break the control of that lust. In Jesus' name, come out, 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 out, out. All the way up out of there, go. In Jesus' name, come out of there. Controlled by lust, you have to go. Loose them and let them go. All the way out. In Jesus' name, controlled by fear. We break that too. Controlled by fear. Dominated by fear, we break the power of that over you. Come out, come out. Dominated by fears, come out. Come on, that domination, fear domination, come out. We break the domination spirit, come out. All the way out, come out, come out, come out. Dominated by fears, come out, come out. All the way out, go right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus, you gotta go. Gotta go, gotta go, in Jesus' name, go, 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 keep coming out, keep coming out, keep coming out, up and out, fear of rejection, fear that God's rejecting you, come out, fear of committing the unpardonable sin, come out, come out, come on, fear of God's rejection, come out, I bind you, devil uses that one on people, you gotta go, you liar. Come out, you lying devil of fear. Come out. Fear of God's rejection. Come out. Fear of God's rejection. Fear of committing unpardonable sin. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. Come out. Come out. Be weakened by the blood and get out of there right now. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Move, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out, go, 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 in Jesus' name, nightmares, come out, spirit of nightmares, you gotta go, keep coming out of there, move, all that nightmare spirits coming and being come against in the night spirit, if they can't get you in the day, they try to get you in the night season, so these spirits will attack you in your night season, you gotta be on guard against them, even in your sleep, be ready to do warfare, come out, all those nightmare spirits, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come up out of there. Spirits of nightmares, come out. All those nightmares of reliving something or seeing something happen or having demons torment you with something. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go. All the way. Come out, 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 out of there. Come out. I'm talking to you, devils. You got to lose people. Come out. 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 All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out of there. All those nightmare spirits. Come out. Come out of there. Up and out. Move in Jesus' name. Nightmares, night visitations, come out.
all the way up out of there. Go, go, spirit of confusion, trying to get on people that confusion and get them so confused that they just fall apart. You come out, all that confusion, come out, come out. Come on, all that confusion, go right now, come out. Manipulation by spirits and confusion, come out. That manipulation spirit, spirits will manipulate the mind to bring you into a place that is not a healthy place. Come out, all that manipulation spirit, come out. You stop that manipulating demon, come out of there. Come out, mind manipulation, come out. Mind manipulation, come out. Manipulating spirits, go in the name of Jesus. That's right, you got to go all the way out, all the way out. That manipulation spirit, go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out all the way out, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. You know, the Bible said, what would it be better that a millstone was tied around their neck and it was thrown to the bottom of the, thrown into the sea, than to hurt one of these little ones? You know, these precious ones, the children of God, not just physical children, but, you know, children, people of God, you know, the little ones, the precious little lamb, the sheep of God, you know. There's some people going to have some pretty bad things happen to them when God takes vengeance on them, and that's his business, not ours, to put vengeance on people. You got to understand that. You just pray for the enemies and those who despitefully use you. That's what we're commanded to do, and that's a hard thing to do if they really hurt you deep. But that's what the Bible tells us to do. It doesn't say go out there and get revenge on them. And, no, you know, the best way to get the revenge is let God take the vengeance on them. You know, he said he's going to do that, and so you got to put it in the hands of Jesus, and that's the best place to put things. It's in the hands of Jesus to cast that care on him. Just keep casting it until you're relieved of it. I know I've had to lay in bed and cast cares on God 100 times before I finally actually gave it to the Lord. I mean, really gave it to the Lord. And then I wasn't caring. I was relieved, and I really had to let go of it, and it wasn't bothering me anymore, and I knew it, and it was cast on the Lord. I knew it was cast on the Lord. And see, sometimes it takes a while to do that, really do that. And, you know, people say, oh, yeah, cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And people don't really live that out by truly, really casting your cares until they're really released to the Lord, and you no longer have them. See, and that's the whole idea of that scripture, that you no longer have them. And they are truly in the Lord's hand, and you are not carrying that stuff. Because you carry stuff, it can wear on you. And you don't want to let the enemy wear on you because, again, he's trying to wear out the saint, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, every way he can. And we resist that in Jesus' name, just like we resist the devil and he will flee, right? Amen. Just like we resist the temptations. To lust or to porn or to sexually desire things that we are, you know, outside of marriage. We have no business desiring them. The temptation is there, but the resistance must be provided through the Spirit, and we resist the devil. See, he gives us the strength to resist the devil, and he will flee. Otherwise, you give place to the devil and give in and do that same old sin again. That maybe it's habitual masturbation. You know, that's a sin, right? It's not healthy. You know, some pastors say, oh, that's okay. That's okay. You need to relieve yourself. You know, I'm not going to tell you that because you're lusting in your mind. You keep going places you should be going. You look at porn. You look at things. You fantasize in the mind. That's an open door, see, for the enemy. And you're in the devil's playground then because he's manipulating your mind and you're giving place to that stuff, see. So resist the devil, even in those areas when you're tempted to fall into sexual sin of some kind or another, and he will flee from you. Amen? But he's not going to flee if you keep looking at that. I mean, you know, once you start looking, you keep looking, see? And it's very hard to look away once you've started looking. And if you glance and turn immediately away, you can get the victory. But you start looking, you're going to be in bond at that point. You're going to go through with the whole thing and fall into sexual sin again. You got to not look at that porn. You got to turn away. You got to refuse to put yourself in that place. In Jesus' name, by the grace of God, you can do all things through Christ. So all that pornography, you go. In the name of Jesus, we break the grip of porn in Jesus' name over people that have been attacked with that. You come out of them right now. In Jesus' name, go. Those lust spirits, those sexual lusts, those fantasy spirits, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All those double-minded spirits, you come out too. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Come out, the double-minded person. Come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Go, go. Come out, the double-minded spirit. Go. Come out of there. All the way out. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. We apply that blood against these demons right now. Go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Keep moving out. Keep moving up out of there. Keep moving. Be weakened by the blood. All the way up out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Keep praying for Timberwolf, folks. His son is a police officer. He's a police officer. And his son was hit by a drunk driving woman. And he died. Went to be with Jesus. So he was a Christian. So please, keep praying for him that he can get through this time in the morning. He'll get through the morning and come out of that on the other side. And I've been praying for you, brother. I'm going to keep praying. I want everybody else to remember you, brother, but you've got to move on. I mean, it's hard. And I know it's hard when you went to court today to see that woman. But you know what? You're going to make it. You're going to make it because God's hand is on you, brother. God's hand is on you. And in Jesus' name, you're going to make it. By the grace of God, he's going to help you. And the prayers of the saints is for you. So the olive trees, he just blessed you and prayed for you too. So praise God. You're going to be remembered by her too. And you're going to be remembered by others. And I've had the people in our church praying for you too. So prayers of the saints is a powerful thing when they believe, okay? Amen. We bind the mourning spirit trying to wear you out with mourning. Come out of there. All that mourning. Jesus' name. I know it's okay to mourn for a while, but the enemy will wear you out with it after a while. So you let him. He try to do that. It's okay to mourn the loss of a loved one. And I've lost them. I know what it is. And yeah. Anyway. Don't let the enemy wear you out. He tried to do it that way, just any way he can. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the mourning spirit, too. In Jesus' name, to wear you out with mourning and crush you. Come out of there all the way out. Go, go, go. I don't want you to just keep saying that I'm crushed all the time. It hurts, I know, but it's not wise to keep saying I'm crushed because that gives the devil a place that I'm crushing you, I'm destroying you, you know. No, just keep confessing the facts of the word over yourself, even in this time of sorrow, in Jesus' name. You got to, by the grace of God, you're going to come out on the other side. You're going to be stronger and be closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for ministering to our brother and to everybody else who's going through difficulties too right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. May the Lord give you his supernatural God-given strength, and all of you. All of you need it in some area, that's for sure. And I need it. You need it. We all need it. And God will be a strength to us. He'll bring us through these difficulties of life, and we come out on the other side. Father, we thank you for this time of deliverance in Jesus' name, and just ask you to seal this deliverance to us and continue to minister to each of us, Lord, at our point of need, Father, whatever that may be. And you can bring us through and all that. And we give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, and thank you that you're a faithful God, you're a reliable God, and you're going to be with us through whatever happens in this wicked world. And we will just continue going home to Jesus, you know, continue running to you, in other words. That's where our strength lies. Praise God. Well, we love you all. We'll see you back next week. The Lord be with you, and keep trusting him.
hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, cause he hath known my name, therefore will I deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, cause he hath known my name, therefore will I deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee.
I will deliver thee.
Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee.
I will deliver
thee. And thou shalt glorify me.
Amen. We will rely upon him. He will see us through. He will deliver us. The enemy may have laid a trap, but hey, God is our deliverer. He will deliver us. Amen. And we do pray, Mighty Bob, you have favor and that you be blessed with that job as you apply. And if that's the one, Lord, wants you have, or he'll give you that one or another one. But he'll give you one if that's what you want. So bless you with that in Jesus' name. All right. Well, it's time to say goodnight to y'all folks. And I should say you guys for some people and y'all for the others. You know, I grew up saying y'all most of the time. But anyway. Yeah. Hallelujah. What Timberwolf have to say here? See. Let's see here. Amen. Okay. Amen. You can keep standing. That's right. Because of the Lord is with you. That's right. You will keep standing by the grace of God. We got to understand that except by the grace we stand through faith. And we keep on with our faith. Our faith, we stand in grace. And by grace, we stand in faith. I mean, really, both ways it goes. And we just keep on. And we keep running the race. And they don't fall out because of the grace of God and because of the faith that God gave us to keep walking. So keep on walking, man. Keep on walking, ladies. You're going to do it because God is with you. He's a mighty one. He's also a mighty warrior, and he says you're a mighty warrior too. So you're going to make it. I mean, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just typing here, text the brother here. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let him be your strength. Because that's what he is. And he will have compassion on those who need compassion. And he will strengthen you with his compassion and strength. Let him do that for you. Amen. Amen. He's a good God. I know that. He's proven it to me. Amen. All right. Well, love y'all. Good night. I'm going to say good night now. And give God the glory for all that he has done and what he will do in your future. Amen. As he's going to keep doing good things because God's a good God and you're his child. I love you dearly. Good night.